these guys, and we have this many games, and then we're going to be gone, then we're going to be back. We have this many games. I like that part of it, but that's interesting that they're going through and doing that. A lot of people, because with everything that's going on in sports, injuries, just a whole bunch of everything. I mean, people are saying, we talked yesterday, is 82 games in the NBA too much? Well, is 162 games too many games in baseball? How did they ever come up with 162 games? Is that right?
It used to be 154 for a long time, and then the expansion, I think probably in 69, they went to 162, and they added more teams to try to probably find some competitive balance the priority used to be competitive balance for determining a champion. That is probably number 8 on the priority list for the way schedules are made anymore, at all levels and in all sports, where you look at weekend balancing, weekend dates, and limiting travel and all the different priorities that go into place. And I guess you could make the argument that 162 games is too long, but who amongst the union and the owners you can't maintain the level of the business if you reduce the amount of games.
Right. You reduce everything. You reduce income for owners. You reduce income for players. Nobody's going to want to, they're okay with taking away some things, but not money. That doesn't happen.
And I think that's a human instinct. If you're walking down the street and you see a $100 bill laying on the sidewalk and you pick it up, it's now yours. And if the person that shows up and says, I just lost a $100 bill, did you see it blowing around? Even though you had no real right to it, the moment it was in your hand, it's hard to give up.
Right.
And that's a human instinct. That's not a baseball thing. That's not an owner-player thing. That is a human being kind of thing. The same as if you give a 4-year-old a Cheerio. It doesn't have to be about money. It's a human instinct of, this is mine. And even if I really don't need it and I really didn't want it, once it became mine, it's really hard for me to give it away.
And when you get older, that's beer. Here's another beer. I don't need it, but by golly.
My Cheerios are heart friendly.
I like my Cheerios too. I'm right there with you. I get that. The other one, we watched the Max Scherzer and the umpire today. Sometimes it's funny because you see athletes are trying to, and we had this with Draymond Green too, and everything that happened last night. Athletes are trying to overcome officials, and officials are trying, they're sick, and it seems to me that they're referees and umpires and all these, they're sick and tired of the players getting their way, and we're sitting in here laughing going, If it was his mom or my mom, they would walk up and smack us in the back of the head and say, stop.
Right.
Who gets to smack him in the back of the head and say, you guys need
the officials.
The officials too.
Right.
Yeah. They just smack them up inside
the
head.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, because we talked about it, where it's opponent against opponent, not against one-on-one. I mean, it just seems to be that they're ruddering the game the way they want it, opposed to just being there as the viewable,
as the person who keeps a little bit of order. It's funny that
it keeps order. Exactly.
It's going through all this, and I understand, especially for baseball players, and it starts in Little League. You're always trying to find a way to make yourself better. That little thing, and if it was who was some of the guys? They had nail files in their gloves and all these things, I get what they're doing, but it just, I mean, that was like 10 minutes today of that people watched those guys fighting about having a sticky substance on his glove. It's maybe people like it, but I think, once again, I want them all to get back to being adults and just knowing what they're doing. And we were talking about NFL referees or NBA referees looking at a little teeny screen, trying to make plays that could cost this team or that team billions of dollars, and we don't know how to handle all that. That was a wildly long question. Sorry, Randy.
Via definition, that wasn't a question.
No,
that
was it wasn't.
That was a Steen rant, but okay.
I guess my response to that
just is, pick
hey,
an
did
aisle.
Did I tell you my daughter has a softball game? I mean, that's what I would have said.
Just pick a lane and try to go at it. He can do this.
I guess I would offer this perspective and something that I've thought about often throughout time is that going to school as a broadcast journalism major and wanting to be a broadcaster, there was a certain amount of people that I was in school with that were in the journalism program because they didn't want to be actors, but they wanted to be on TV. And there's a fame quality that comes with being in these things that didn't exist in the eras that we compare them to. Walter Cronkite had no idea that he could be rich or famous by becoming a journalist. Because he was so good, he became both. Harry Carey had no idea that he could become rich or famous by being a radio play-by-play broadcaster. He was very good and became both.
And he would have been fine with Budweiser.
Budweiser.
Yes.
And ice cold.
And even umpires had no idea that they could become rich or famous or infamous when umpires began in their role of the game. And so the success that has been cultivated over the people who are really great at these jobs at the very beginning have changed the character traits of the people who pursue those jobs in the current day. And we have plenty of double standards of people who are allowed to behave badly and pass it off as they're just so competitive and so passionate, but equal behavior by other people. We talked with the Caitlin Angel Reese thing is a recent example of this, but it exists all over the place. Draymond, and how much does Sabonis get blame or credit for the incident that went on? You know, Jason Giambi got a free pass on all of the steroid stuff because he was just so likable.
He was a cool dude.
And everybody wanted to be hang out with Jason Giambi, and he seemed like he was a lot of fun, and he really wasn't a Hall of Famer, and he really wasn't resetting the game of the history, and he really wasn't taking anything away from anybody else. So we completely overlooked that
like
behavior
okay.
for you,
that is
but
so
for the people
right.
who rewrite it. So my answer to your question or my response to your rant, or however we want to.
Look at that. Randy's getting comfortable now. Here we go.
However we want to present this conversation, it would be that this is just, there's more to come for all of this, you know, and in the same way that, you know, the people that I was with in broadcast school just wanted to be on TV. That's why we've gotten to reality TV and cable news and all the different things that we have now is, it's about ratings and it's about money as opposed to quality of content. News was never a measured piece of television when ratings began. It was a public service. There was no money to be made. When they changed that ideal and there was now spots to sell based on eyeballs and news, it changed the way people delivered news. And that's just how it is. I'm not saying that's right, wrong, indifferent. I could, and I'd give you lots of other opinions, but I think at least in providing some sort of context from my perspective, that's the cause and the effect. And I don't know how you put that toothpaste back in the tube.
I think the most interesting thing that you said there was Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and how they reacted to what happened. It helped Angel Reese. It got her more clicks and stuff. And people started to know to understand her a little bit more or see her a little bit more. It made Caitlin Clark, how she responded to all of that, more likable to people who maybe didn't like her because they didn't like the way that she did on the floor sometimes.
Right.
And then they went, oh, well, she is likable. Look how she handled
right.
that.
Or they had a chip on her cockiness, if you
right.
will.
So it changed Angel's perception of, I'm just not going to take this just to take it. This is my time and I'm going to use it. And Caitlin used that same thing, and it's for us that kind of know her a little bit, that is her. when she's got you down, and it could be golf, it could be I don't picking numbers behind your back. If she's winning, she's going to tell you she's winning. But the way she handled that through all of that changed a lot of people's perspective on her. That was a great point, that it you can go either way, and you're going to get good out of either way. And sometimes you get bad out of either way, because sometimes people just go, well, I just don't like you because I just don't like you. And other people, you could do, you know, there are people out there today, and I didn't think what Draymond Green did deserved to get suspended. But he deserves a lot. And there'll be people that will back him and say, he didn't do anything wrong. He never does anything wrong. Everybody just picks on Draymond. And that's the great thing about our country, and it's why we have such – like in the news, like you were talking about, why we have such wide news groups out there and how they fit into our whole spectrum. And they still have, they know no matter what they do, they're going to have people follow them because they can hit a niche. And you're right. And that's, it's so interesting.
I don't think there's much incentive for people to change their mind about anything anymore, because the world is so connected that you can find somebody to agree with you no matter what you say.
No.
And then that validates things for people. In an age when we were less connected without the internet and without things, you know, there was one way presented to do things. And if you didn't fit, you felt ostracized. And there's terrible things that go along with those kinds of things. But it also forced you to find some middle ground. You know, if you don't like your next door neighbor, they were your next door neighbor. You had to figure out a way to coexist with them. If you don't like your next-door neighbor, you ignore them now and you go to an internet chat room and find somebody who agrees with you.
Right.
And it's just a different way. We don't cope as well, in my opinion. And observing the way my daughters have grown up, you know, that we dig in on everything. And, you know, sometimes I think if you change your mind because you learn new things, it's presented on the internet as you're weak because you flip-flop and you can't make up your mind and you're a liar or all those kinds of things. Sometimes you change your mind because you learn new things and you got smarter.
Absolutely.
And you evolve. But I think we have projected that as a weakness too often in the way people behave or people learn or people evolve, as opposed to thinking of it as a strength. And that's just an observation of mine. There's probably a bajillion exceptions that people are screaming at the radios listening to me say that. But I think that is a thing that is different about now than 25 years ago or when I was aspiring to be different things before I had the chance to pull back the curtain and see some things in professional sports and be around how it goes. So, and you know, it's just a matter of perspective and context and understanding, you know, where your mindset fits in and do I have the ability to make a reasonable amount of change if I'm really that upset about it? It's really hard to change anybody's mind about anything in this day and age. And that's challenging for us when we think we have something valid to offer. You know, we don't meet in the middle enough on a lot of conversations.
And that's the crazy thing is there's information out there that you can find that can back up your story to compete with somebody else's story, that even though the information might not be true, you can still find it somewhere and go, look, I saw it. It was right there. Yes. It's the internet. Way of the internet.
There
it's
you
lovely.
Go.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Randy, Scott, and I'll be back right after this break. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13. I missed one. At Randy Wayhofer. I might have missed. No, I said Steen. I don't know which one I missed, but I was saying it so fast, I was clicking.
I
don't even know.
You're good.
Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, Sports Med, Sports Rehab, Trauma, and Urgent Injury. Des Moines Urgent Injury Clinics are open at both the Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at dmoss.com. You can see how long a wait you're going to have. Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, thank you very much for being a part of the program. So we talked a little bit about, I can't remember if we talked to it on air or off air. You had all the Drake young men come, Tucker and the seniors. They're a really good group. It's a good group of kids. It's so funny because we came in and said, everybody in the world thinks that I can go out and step on that mound and I can throw the ball to home plate. You'd be surprised that it's 10% yes and 90% you have no shot in the world. My arm would fall off nowadays. I could do it back when I was 30, but I can't do it.
Well, and everybody thought, well, these are you know, high level athletes.
Yep. Not the same skills.
You can do one does not mean you can do the other.
But it's really interesting. So the other thing that Scott and I were thinking about when you came in today, will you try to get Ashley Jones in on another day?
She did come on Sunday. I think three people met her when we opened up the gates and then called the game a little bit. But I think tomorrow is the day. She reports to WNBA camp, so yep. I'm not sure. She has now turned the page into the next part of her career, so I don't anticipate that's going to be. I mean, it's not like we are mad at her or won't talk to her ever again, but I understand why her priorities have
changed. She's not mad. We can't do the weather. I'm sorry.
I had a nice exchange with her on Sunday. She had some family there, and we had a suite for them so that, they were there wrapping up. So I took her the baseball that she would have received throughout the ceremonial first pitch and gave it to her. She said, well, you want me to go out there for a picture? And I said, I don't have enough insurance to send you out there right now to do anything.
No, thank you.
For that. She was really terrific. And I want to say also about the Drake guys that, we had a lot of fun with them. I think they enjoyed being at the ballpark. But I learned all I needed to know about them. When unprompted, they sought me out at the end of the night and thanked me again. You know, this was a mutual beneficial agreement. You know, we have the opportunity to get them a little bit of spending money and celebrate their accomplishments, and they get to come have a little fun at the ballpark. And, the character of that group is obvious and what resulted in their success on the court. And I wanted to make sure I acknowledge that we'll have some fun and tease a little bit about airmail and a first pitch or whatever. But I can tell why those guys were as successful as they were. And Coach DeVries talking to him a little bit, that's the reason why the Drake program is on solid footing.
It's solid footing. And you get that, what you just said about Ashley as well. And you've said that about Caitlin as well when she was there last year, even enough to come back. It's the kindness that comes from all these kids. And it's a lot. Okay. I mean, when you're thinking, 18, 19, 20, 21-year, 22-year-old kids with all the things that are going on and all that social media, when you meet them and they're down to earth and they get it. And, that means, that's what you expect from your kids. It's what I expect from my kids. Well, the one thing I wanted, you right. have to be nice.
They still seem to have the local connection that it means something. It's their, they haven't outgrown their, the head hasn't got too big or outgrown their britches, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Have I ever told you guys my Mike Sweeney story?
No.
Mike Sweeney from the Royals.
Yeah.
So when I worked in Burlington, we were the Royals affiliate for my last 7 years there. And we never got anybody on a major league rehab assignment to come to Burlington, Iowa, like we do here regularly for that. So Mike Sweeney was coming off the injured list, and the Royals said, these guys have worked hard. They fixed their field. They built a batting cage. They've done a lot to help us. It would mean a lot to them if we could send you there for a couple of days. And he was the kind of guy that understood that bigger picture and would go to Burlington and do a rehab assignment. So he drove over from Kansas City with his dad, and they made a road trip of it, and he was there for 2 days. And we did a press conference, which I always joke that as the media relations director in Burlington, I had very little media to relate to. So it was one of the easiest parts of my job. So the TV stations came down from the Quad Cities. We did a little press conference in our boardroom, and we had five interns that summer, and they're all standing in the doorway drooling because there's a major leaguer sitting 10 feet away from them, and they never expected going to intern in Burlington that summer that they would have that opportunity. And when the press conference is over, Sweeney looks over and he gets up and he walks over, sticks out his hand, and he says, "Hi, I'm Mike Sweeney. What's your name?" And to which they all stammered and mumbled and forgot, you know, what their parents had called them at that point. But Mike Sweeney demonstrated for the first time in my career what it was like to understand what you've achieved and what that means people want to get from you, and to be secure enough to give it to them without being arrogant about it. He understood that those five kids standing there thought he was the coolest thing ever, not because he was Mike Sweeney, because he was Major League Baseball player Mike Sweeney. And then he came up to our general manager and I and said, "You want me to sign autographs for people?" We set up a table inside the main gate, and while the visiting team was taking BP, he signed, went in a half hour before the game, hit a home run in his first at bat. It is a special skill for a human being to have, athlete or not, to be able to understand why people want certain things from you because of what you have achieved or what you stand for to them, and to be able to give that to them without thinking it's all about you. And it was remarkable, and there are very few people. Ryne Sandberg was like that when he was our manager in 2010, understood what he represented to Cub fans and as a Hall of Famer, and was willing to stand there and sign for 25 minutes every day and do all the things that he did. And that is really uncommon. And what I've learned is not to ask everybody to be to that level, but when you come across the people who get it that well, recognize it and appreciate it and acknowledge it, because it's not standard, and nor should it be. It's what makes them special.
We believe in that,
right?
Really well. I mean, we've had
Burlington Bees.
Yes.
When they were, my son plays prospect ball now for the Burlington Bees, are now considered a prospect league team.
Yeah,
that stadium, that town, that my son, he plays for Mount Mercy and then plays Burlington Bees in the summer. They stick around after the game, and the town and the fans just love to be able to touch the game. And he will sign balls for 6, 7 year old, eight, I mean, whatever, and to get the pictures and all these different things. It is such a you can just immerse yourself in the game. It feels so old school, from the stadium to the actual what you're watching. I mean, it's going back in time is what it feels like.
Now, I worked nine seasons there from 1999 to 2007 before I came here in 2008, and they lost their affiliation when things changed in minor league baseball and became the Collegewood Bat League team. But it was, I drove a Bobcat to put the pea gravel and the drainage tile underneath that field. And I painted every one of those outfield signs at some point in my career. And I painted every stall and all the bathrooms one off, and sometime in the off season. And it was why I'm able to do the job I do here, is because I had to know everything about the way a minor league baseball team operated, because we ran the place with four people. And we tried to do as many of the things on a much smaller scale that we do here and are responsible for. And it's just different, and it's challenging, because there's just not enough resources there when weather's bad and things that go bad outside of your control in order to sustain that operation, because you need to sell tickets and make some money somewhere in order to fix your field and replace seats and do all the things that you need to do. But, I learned a lot about everything working there in those nine seasons.
Once again, that is Randy Wehofer. He is the VP and general manager of the Iowa Cubs, assistant general manager, I'm sorry. One of the things, this might even have been Jen, my wife, wanted to know, did you have somebody that was your idol when you were growing up? And as, in your position that you have now, do you still have somebody that you look at in today's game that brings a sparkle to your eye?
Well, yeah. So growing up, Bill Buckner was my favorite player, because he played first base and I played first base, and my dad played first base on the church softball team. And he was a left-handed hitter and I was a left-handed hitter, and he was just, he was the guy that I identified with. I had a chance to meet Bill before he passed away, at a winter banquet in Burlington. And I don't know if he's different because of the 86 World Series, or, certainly you don't, what you know as a 9-year-old kid and what you get to meet. He was very nice, I think it was a little harder for him afterwards. When he got traded to the Red Sox and then Andre Dawson signed with the Cubs, he became kind of my guy. And I've come across him a couple of times. And he is still a guy that I think has it all figured out. Rick Sutcliffe's been doing color for the Cubs on Marquee this week, and they had that incident where Eric Schau hits him in the face, and Andre goes down, and he's not moving. And Sutcliffe is the first guy up over the rail, heading out, and he's charging the mound and going after Schau for hitting Andre. And I've never seen that ever happen before.
Not from a pitcher in baseball.
I have never seen a guy get hit by a pitch and his teammates be the first ones out. You know, the teammates only come out because that guy's mad and he went out, and then you got to do the dance with everybody. I've always thought that, you know, I wanted to be the kind of teammate that your teammates would go out for you if something happened to you. And then Andre was at the John Stoddard fundraiser event that they had in the off season that Unity Point does and spoke. And he's been here a couple of times with Fergie Jenkins when Fergie Brent comes and signs autographs and sells autographs for money for his foundation. This is a really old reference, but the E.F. Hutton, when Andre talks, people listen. You don't ever have to raise your voice. You don't ever have to, and the scowl that he had in the batter's box, and then you get to meet him a little bit, and it's really different.
That was a big deal for the Chicago Cubs, too, because I remember, WGN, that's really here, that's the baseball game we got. We all tried to be Andre Dawson. He was amazing.
He was an MVP on a last-place team. That doesn't happen. He's the only guy that's ever happened to. So, there's some people on the executive side of things. I'm not just saying this. Sam is the top of the heap when it comes to that kind of stuff. So the opportunity to learn from him. Dave Walker was the president of the board of directors in Burlington. I was just telling the story to somebody the other day. Dave was the chairman of the board of trustees for minor league baseball prior to Sam becoming the chairman of the board of trustees for minor league baseball. And I came here from there in the meantime. So I'm the only guy who's worked for the chairman of the board of trustees for minor league baseball for 13 years in a row before they disbanded the whole thing. So, the opportunity to learn what was happening in our ballpark, but then learn from guys who were also influencing the game at the national level and understanding what the industry was, and then being able to travel as a broadcaster and then see firsthand all the different operations and ballparks and understand the conversation on the backside of things about what was happening, and then see the fan-facing side of all these different places. I've been Forrest Gump in my career to fall into a lot of really good things.
All right, I want to do just a wee bit of iCubs housekeeping, if we will. They're up 1-0, end of the second in Buffalo. All right, so this being the 19th, we've got Buffalo. They're going to be in Buffalo through Monday. Through Sunday. They'll travel on Monday. Then it is the Louisville Bats starting on Tuesday through that following Sunday, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So I'm looking at the different days. So on April 25th, it's a 6:38 game. There's baseball bingo and Tuesday, T-W-O as in two, Tuesday. What's baseball bingo?
Baseball bingo is literally that. You get a card, and the station groups here sponsor that and provide the prizes, and you play along. So it says fly out to left field, and if you got that on your bingo card, you mark it off, and you get five in a row. You take it to fan services. It's free to play. You pick up a card on your way in, and you win gift cards.
All right. More reasons to go. All right.
And it makes you pay attention to the game a little bit. Tuesday is two reserve tickets, two pizza slices, and two Cokes or two beers for $36. Yep. Ticket bundle. Yep.
Today game on Wednesday, April 26th. Wednesday, Windy Wednesday and Jethro's Wing Day. Two day games in a row.
Yes.
Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, this homestand and then the next will double up on the day games. School participation is back. So we stack them up a little bit more this time of year for schools to come out and enjoy the game, but still a great opportunity for suites and long lunches and business groups too. But yeah, we do the extra day games to that way the schools. It's really challenging to have 10,000 kids at one game, but if you can have a couple thousand kids at five games, it's a better experience for them and for everybody else coming to the ballpark. So because we get such good support from the business community for noon games, we're able to have our cake and eat it too when it comes to scheduling those noon games.
And not school related, Thursday is also Mug Club. So.
Mug Club, I know that.
Fairway 2-for-1, Friday fireworks again. Iowa Oaks schedule poster.
So we're unveiling brand new Iowa Oaks retro jerseys for Friday night's game, and we're auctioning off the old ones in the concourse. And the schedule poster is separate.
Sweet. We're going to talk about that when we come back in here. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Come back in here. We got one more segment with Randy. We'll be right back.
Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Wednesday. This is our last day this week. We have Heroes for Homeless.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
I have
a banquet,
a trip on Friday.
Yep.
Monday, there's a possibility we may be playing golf at Wakanda.
Very good chance. We're wearing layers on an overcast day, but it's
can't pass that up.
It's a media opportunity for the Principal Charity Classic that we cannot say no to.
That is exactly right. You are listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at SteenOnSports, at ScottBrower_13, at 1700 The Champ, and at SteenOn. Did I say SteenOnSports? I said you.
You should always. You know what? Just repeat it.
Happy Hour_SS. There
people
you are.
Listening.
We were in here with Randy Wehofer. We always enjoy our Wednesdays, the 5 o'clock hour. He's in here with us. He is at Randy Wehofer. He is the VP and Assistant General Manager for the Iowa Cubs. We love having him in here. You have the last read for the day.
I have the last read. And we were just talking social media when we were on break, but you go to Facebook and follow Iowa Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the right people working on that. That's great content. Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solutions company. Provides design, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security for your facility. Located in Ankeny, go to woodmancontrol.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more from an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company.
Randy, 2 weeks before softball starts? 3 weeks.
May 1st. Practice starts May 1st. Games will be probably another month or so away.
Oh, so they're that. Okay.
School season, at least.
Okay. I was trying to think when we all started playing baseball, but it was in May. We didn't play in April. It's probably true.
As you say, Brandon's been playing since February, but that's different.
Yeah, that's just, college baseball, they kind of use and abuse you. So you're
– scoop a hole off the field and play all day.
So, you know, we bombard you with questions. So why don't you hit us with some of the stuff you want to talk about or need to talk about, some of the things going on, people getting used to the road being closed and working their way around.
Worth repeating our clear bag policy. That's new this year. Everything needs to be a clear bag. A clutch smaller than 4x6 can be an exception. So it's basically a wallet if it can fit in your pocket. If it's hanging over your shoulder, it needs to be clear. It's on the marquee at second and third at the river all the time. It's on all of our know before you go email confirmations when you buy a ticket. It's on all the signs when you walk up to the ballpark. But we're still catching a few people by surprise when they get up to the gates about the clear back policy. Our policy is the same as Wells Fargo Arena. It's the same as Jack Trice. It's the same as Kinnick. And I wish we didn't live in a world where those kinds of things were necessary. But
they are. Because you never know.
If something bad happened, it would be shame on us. So we appreciate folks' understanding and cooperation so we can keep people safe and lines moving and get people in a timely way. So that's really important.
I think one of the coolest things, you still run under the cashless part of that as well. But I try to explain to people that you can take a $20 bill in, put it in a machine, it gives you a card, and you can spend that card anywhere, not just at the iCubs. You can spend it anywhere.
So you say, what kind of world are you living in that you don't have a card on you, though? But anyway,
I think you would be surprised. Okay. Would he be surprised that there's
–
it's not as much as it was when it first started, but I'm assuming you still have people going, what?
Yeah, there are some that, you know, and anytime there's something new, you know, I think the reaction to the clear bag policy is the same as when we went to a bag policy when we introduced the metal detectors and things in 2019 when we went cashless and some of those things. It does create efficiencies that are better for you, even though it seems a little bit inconvenient in the moment. And I know change is hard. We get some funny things. Somebody asked me how they can get a card with their card. I said, well, you just take your card up to the stand.
Okay. That's what we love. Right,
can you give me the number for 911? Yeah, give me just a second, Captain Obvious.
I got you.
So, yeah. You know, the wonderful thing about working at the ballpark is you never quite know what you're going to see or hear, which is what keeps it fun and keeps it interesting. But, I think in general, people are catching on and people understand we're not first in on a lot of these things. We were early with cashless compared to maybe some of the others. But as you mentioned, the reverse ATM machines are available that there is nothing inconvenient to you other than that 15 seconds to exchange the cash for the card. There's no fee on that. You put $20 in, you get the card worth $20. There's, you know, all of that is seamless. So that's working out pretty well.
Go ahead.
Do you guys have limitations on tailgating? I mean, if it's a 7-8 game, can you, hey, families in town, we're going to come down at 1:00. We're going to grill. We're going to throw the ball. I mean, or is it, hey, parking lot doesn't open until 4:00.
Hour and a half.
Parking lot's open 3 hours before first pitch.
Okay.
If you have come in and have started tailgating and we haven't opened the lot, one of our parking attendants will come find you. After you've gotten started and
not gonna lie,
kindly ask.
Yeah, I've talked to that person many a time, just saying. So
tailgating is essentially first come, first serve. One of our challenges is parking. We just don't have enough, particularly on a busy night, and so we can't reserve spots ahead of time. We don't prepay parking. Even when season ticket holders have a parking pass, we don't have a spot for every car that's coming. So even if you have a parking pass from us, if you come at 7:15 for a 7:08 game on a Friday night, chances are you are not going to get a spot in the parking lot, pass or not. So planning ahead, particularly with the construction on MLK and things that are going on, is always advisable.
We've had a couple of breakfast clubs in the last couple of weeks. We had 5-0 Paul, say his name.
Paul Prezik.
Prezik.
Sergeant Prezik.
It's Sergeant Prezik. And this past Monday, we had Brooks Reynolds, Bacon Fest. And the one thing those two guys have in common is their love and admiration for you. I mean, that came up in conversation.
Right.
You know, the Iowa Cubs, you, Randy, specifically, which is, you know, that's why you don't have an easy job. Because no one's ever just happy all the time. And you have to deal with that. And just the baseball side of it isn't easy and all that. We probably don't give you enough kudos about what a great job you do, your staff does, Sam, everybody. We are so lucky to be in Des Moines. Even though Des Moines is a big city, it's still AAA baseball is a big deal, and it's great having you guys.
I appreciate that. Nobody should feel sorry for me by any means. If there weren't some things that were challenging, it wouldn't be called a job. Nobody's got it better than me going to the ballpark every day. And I love at the end of the fireworks, when the lights come back on and everybody kind of hoots a little bit. That's the funniest sound in the world to me when the lights come back on and everybody's eyes need to adjust to the lights being back on after the fireworks. Listen for that sometimes. It's really a funny noise, but it's very, very good. You've heard it before.
He's made that noise before.
Yeah.
I love standing there after it's over, and it is a wonderful privilege to be able to stand there and have people thank me or taking their money and showing them a good time as they leave, as the work I get to do every day. And we thank them. We've got a great relationship with our community. Sam has set that tone a long time ago as a local guy who's been in charge for a very long time, and it's my job not to mess it up. So he gets the human's amount of credit for that, and we're following in line.
With everything else that you have going on, are suite sales still good? I mean, because you can, some of the things that you used to go up for the suite sales made it interesting. I mean, now you have so many different things going on, so it's still just as relevant as it always has been.
Yeah, well, there's lots of dates where there's none available. You know,
that's awesome.
We've got 44 suites, which is unheard of. They don't build ballparks with 44 suites anymore. You know, but we've got almost 65% of those on season leases with companies, and those nightly rentals between left field and the ones that are available up on the press box. You know, day games become real hard. Sundays sell out pretty quick. Fridays and Saturdays will fill up. It all has its space. You know, and I think that's the challenging thing when you guys ask me what's going on. We've got a little something for everybody. And it's hard to make sure everybody knows what the little something for them is. You know, there's lots to talk about and lots of messaging. But you know, that's the thing that we try to do is overlap what else you care about with the baseball game. We didn't get to Saturday. The Iowa DNR is doing Outdoors Day. We're going to promote, you know, just being out in nature as summer's getting ready, and we're giving away 500 fishing poles to kids 13 and younger coming to the game on Saturday. And then we'll do Demonios on Sunday for the Latin Heritage celebration and try to be an integrated part of the community. And there's always something other than the baseball game going on at Principal Park. And we try to do those things strategically so that in case it's 45 degrees and a little cloudy and we're in first place now, but in case we're not, you know, it's still worth your time and a good time.
Something to do. We appreciate you and appreciate
always
you coming in, talking to us. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Drive safe home. We will see you next Tuesday, hopefully.